Chapter 3. Church Schools. All thy children shall be taught of God. Isaiah 54, verse 13. Schools should be established for each church. In all our churches, and wherever there is a company of believers, church schools should be established, and in these schools there should be teachers with a true missionary spirit, for the children are to be trained to become missionaries. It is essential that the teachers be educated to act their part in instructing children of Sabbath keepers, not only in the sciences, but in the scriptures. These schools, established in different localities and conducted by God-fearing men and women, as the case demands, should be built upon the same principles as were the schools of the prophets, PC. Need of church schools. I say again, establish schools for the children wherever there are churches. Where there are those who assemble to worship God, let there be schools for the children. Work as if you were working for your life to save children from being drowned in the polluting, corrupting influences of this life. Item. If people would encourage the church in which they are members and establish small, humble school buildings in which to do service for God, they would accommodate their own children within their borders, if not more than 6 children. Therefore, in localities where there is a church, a school should be established, if there are no more than 6 children to attend. A teacher should be employed who will educate the children in the truths of the Word of God, which are so essential for these last days, and which it is so important for them to understand. A great test is coming. It will be upon obedience or disobedience to the commandments of God. Item. For every company. There should be schools established wherever there is a church or company of believers. Teachers should be employed to educate the children of Sabbath keepers. In all our churches there should be schools, and teachers of those schools who are missionaries. Item. Several churches unite. Wherever there are a few Sabbath schools, let the parents unite together in providing a place for a day school, where the children of the various Sabbath keepers can come together. Let them employ a Christian teacher, who as a consecrated missionary shall educate the children in such a way as to lead them to become missionaries themselves. Work while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. We should have private schools in different localities to prepare our youth for our higher schools. Special. T to M and W, number 6, page 58. Studies for the church school. The Bible. Used as a textbook in our schools, the Bible will do for mind and morals what cannot be done by books of science or philosophy. As a book to discipline and strengthen the intellect and ennoble, purify, and refine the character, it is without a rival. If there were not another book in the wide world, the Word of God, lived out through the grace of Christ, would make man perfect in this world, with a character fitted for the future immortal life. The Bible should not be brought into our schools to be sandwiched in between infidelity. The Bible must be made the groundwork and subject matter of education. It is true that we know much more of the Word of the living God than we knew in the past, but there is still much more to be learned. It should be used as the Word of the living God and esteemed as first and last and best in everything. Then will be seen true spiritual growth. PC. The Bible in our schools. The Word of God is to stand as the highest educating book in our world and is to be treated with reverential awe. It is our guidebook. We shall receive from it the truth. We need to present the Bible as the great lesson book, to place it in the hands of our children and youth, that they may know Christ, whom to know aright is life eternal. It is the book to be studied by those of middle age and those who are aged. If used as a textbook in our school, it will be found far more effective than any other book in the world. The Word of God is the most perfect educational book in our world. In searching its pages, we move through scenes majestic and eternal. In the Bible, every vital principle is declared, every duty made plain, every obligation made evident. The Bible is a directory by which you may know the way to eternal life. It unfolds a simple and complete system of theology and philosophy. What other book presents to students more ennobling science, more wonderful history. The searching of all books of philosophy and science cannot do for the mind and morals what the Bible can do if studied and practiced. Of all the books that have flooded the world, be they ever so valuable, the Bible is the book of books, and is most deserving of the closest study and attention. Do not think the Bible will become a tiresome book to the children. Under a wise instructor, the work will become more and more desirable. It will be to them as the bread of life and will never grow old. There is in it a freshness and beauty that attract and charm the children and youth. God's holy educating spirit is in His Word. The promises spoken by the great teacher will captivate the senses and animate the soul of the child with a spiritual power that is divine. There will grow in the faithful a familiarity with divine things which will be as a barricade against the temptations of the enemy. Nature study. While the Bible should hold the first place in the education of children and youth, the book of nature is next in importance. The most effective way to teach the heathen who know not God is through His works. In this way, far more readily than by any other method, they can be made to realize the difference between their idols, the works of their own hands, and the true God, the Maker of heaven and earth. A return to simpler methods will be appreciated by the children and youth. Work in the garden and field will be an agreeable change from the wearisome routine of abstract lessons, to which their young minds should never be confined. God has, in the natural world, placed in the hands of the children of men the key to unlock the treasure house of His Word. The unseen is illustrated by the seen. Divine wisdom, eternal truth, infinite grace are understood by the things that God has made. Then, let the children and youth become acquainted with nature and nature's laws. Physiology and healthful living. The youth should be taught to look upon physiology as one of the essential studies, and they should not be satisfied with the mere theory. They should practice the knowledge obtained from books on this subject. This matter has not yet been patiently and perseveringly worked out. Those who neglect this branch of study, which comprehends so much, will make hazardous work in attempting to teach the youth. They are not qualified to direct in our schools, because the way of the Lord must be learned in order to be practiced. PC, our schoolwork. A practical knowledge of the science of human life is necessary in order to glorify God in our bodies. It is therefore of the highest importance that among studies selected for childhood, physiology should occupy the first place. It is well that physiology is introduced into the common schools as a branch of education. All children should study it. It should be regarded as the basis of all educational effort. And then, parents should see to it that practical hygiene be added. This will make their knowledge of physiology of practical benefit. Healthful Living, 13. Common Branches. If teachers were receiving light and wisdom from the divine teacher, the common, essential branches of education would be more thoroughly taught, and the Word of God would be honored and esteemed as the bread sent down from heaven, which sustains all spiritual life, binding the human agent with Christ in God. The common branches of education should be fully and prayerfully taught. Children should be educated to read, write, to understand figures, to keep their own accounts when very young. They may go forward, advancing step by step in this knowledge. The education given in our schools is one-sided. Students should be given an education that will fit them for successful business life. The common branches of education should be fully and thoroughly taught. Bookkeeping should be looked upon as of equal importance with grammar. This line of study is one of the most important for use in practical life, but few leave our schools with a knowledge of how to keep books correctly. Singing. I heard the songs of children and of parents. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live will I praise the Lord, I will sing praises unto my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. Praise ye the Lord from heavens, praise Him in the heights. Praise ye Him, all His angels, praise ye Him, all His hosts. Praise ye Him, sun and moon, praise Him, all ye stars of light. manual training. When the child is old enough to be sent to school, the teacher should cooperate with the parents, and manual training should be continued as a part of his school duties. There are many students who object to this kind of work in the school. They think useful employment, like learning a trade, degrading. But such persons have an incorrect idea of what constitutes true dignity. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is one with the Father, the commander in the heavenly courts, was the personal instructor and guide of the children of Israel. And among them, it was required that every youth should learn how to work. All were to be educated in some business line, that they might possess a knowledge of practical life, and be not only self-sustaining, but useful. This was the instruction which God gave to His people. Example set by Christ. In His earth life, Christ was an example to all the human family, and He was obedient and helpful in the home. He learned the carpenter's trade and worked with His own hands in the little shop at Nazareth. He was not willing to be defective even in the handling of tools. He was perfect as a workman, as He was in character. Various lines of manual training. Education, in felling trees, tilling the soil, erecting buildings, as well as in literature, is the education our youth should each seek to obtain. Further on, a printing press should be connected with our school in order to educate in this line. Tent making also should be learned. There are also many things which the lady students may be engaged in. There is cooking, dressmaking, and gardening to be done. Strawberries should be planted, plants and flowers cultivated. This the lady students may be called out of doors to do. Thus they may be educated to useful labor. Bookbinding also, and a variety of trades, should be taken up. These will not only be putting into exercise brain, bone, and muscle, but will also be gaining knowledge. Students are here for special training, to become acquainted with all lines of work, that should they go out as missionaries, they could in one sense be morally independent and be able to furnish themselves with conveniences because they have educated ability. Whether men or women, they should learn to mend, wash, and keep their own clothes in order. They should be able to cook their own meals. Practical missionary work, a branch of education. July 21, 1898. Qualifications of teachers. Converted teachers. I would that the teachers in our schools could be of God's selection and appointment. Souls will be lost because of the careless work of professedly Christian teachers who need to be taught by God day by day, else they are unfit for the position of trust. Teachers are needed who will strive to weed out their inherited and cultivated tendencies to wrong, who will come into line, wearing themselves the yoke of obedience, and thus giving an example to the students. The sense of duty to their God and to their fellow beings with whom they associate will lead such teachers to become doers of the word and to heed counsel as to how they should conduct themselves. September 17, 887. Every teacher should be under the full control of Holy Spirit. If the teachers will open their own hearts to receive the Spirit, they will be prepared to cooperate with it in working for their students. Every teacher should know and welcome this heavenly guest. Special talent should be given to the education of the youth. Educators of youth should be Christians who are themselves under the discipline of God. P.C. Need of church schools. Progressive teachers. Those teachers who have not a progressive religious experience, who have not learned daily lessons in the school of Christ, that they may be in samples to the flock, but who accept their wages as the main thing, are not fit for the solemn, awfully solemn position they occupy. P.C. The teachers and students of our educational institutions. The truth is life and power, and to present it so that impressions will be made upon hearts should be the work of our schools as well as of our churches, of the teacher as well as of the minister. P.C. Need of reform in our educational work. We cannot in this day of peril accept teachers because they have been in school 2, 3, 4, or 5 years. The question which should decide whether they are qualified for their work should be, have they, with all their acquisition of knowledge, searched the Bible and dug beneath the surface for truth as for hidden treasures? Or have they seized the chaff in the place of the pure wheat thoroughly winnowed? Are they partaking of the fruit of the tree of life? P.C. Tree of life and tree of knowledge. Many teachers are leading their students over the same track that they have themselves have trod. They think this is the only right way. They give students food which would not sustain spiritual life, but which will cause those who partake of it to die. They are fascinated by that which God does not require them to know. Test: the Bible in our schools. Efficiency required. God wants the teachers in our schools to be efficient. Let none feel that having an earnestness in religious matters is all that is essential in order to become educators. While they need no less of piety, they also need a thorough knowledge of the sciences. This will make them not only good, practical Christians, but will enable them to educate the youth, and, at the same time, they will have heavenly wisdom to lead them to the fountain of living water. No cheap cast of mind. The teachers for our school should be selected from the very best class. They should be experienced Christians who are balanced in mind, men and women who have learned the lesson of self-control. Then they can educate and do a work of larger importance than even the minister in preaching the word. They can prepare the soil that the truth may have effect upon human hearts. No cheap cast of mind should be placed in our church schools. The very best is required in educating and molding the human mind. I dwell upon this because suitable teachers are much needed, and men and women must be fitted up in the home and in the school to do a work of ministry of which they will not be ashamed. No haphazard work. Teachers themselves should be what they wish the students to become. They should possess well-balanced, symmetrical characters. They should be refined in manner, neat in dress, careful in all their habits, and should have that true Christian courtesy that wins confidence and respect. No haphazard work must be done in the appointment of teachers. Those who have devoted years to study and yet have not gained the education essential to fit them to teach others, in the lines the Lord has marked out, should not be connected with our schools as educators. They need to be taught the first principles of true, all-round education. A practical knowledge necessary. The physical powers should be developed in proportion to the mental faculties. This is essential for an all-round education, and they will then be at home in any place. They should be able to teach others how to build, how to cultivate the soil. A man may have a brilliant mind, quick to catch ideas, but this is of little value to him if he has no knowledge of practical work, if he does not know how to put his ideas into execution. Such a one is only half educated. The teacher who has an intelligent knowledge of the best methods and who can not only teach the theory, but can show by example how things should be done, will never be a drug in the market. PC, our schoolwork. As disciplinarians, none who deal with the youth should be iron-hearted, but affectionate, tender, pitiful, courteous, winning, and compassionate. Yet they should know that reproof should be given, and that even rebuke must be spoken to cut off some evil doing. Everyone who has to do with educating the younger class of students should consider that these children are affected by and feel the impression of the atmosphere, whether it be pleasant or unpleasant. If the teacher is connected with God, if he has Christ abiding in his heart, the spirit that is cherished by him is felt by the children. When a teacher manifests impatience or fretfulness toward a child, the fault may not be in the child one half as much as in the teacher, who needs himself to be disciplined and trained, and deserves a heavier punishment than he puts upon the child, for he is old enough to know better. Close relation between teacher and pupils. Teachers become tired with their work, then something the children say or do does not accord with their feelings, but will they let Satan's spirit enter into them and lead them to create feelings in the children very unpleasant and disagreeable through their own lack of tact and wisdom from God? There should not be a teacher employed unless you have evidence, by test and trial, that he loves and fears to offend God. Value of a child. Teachers, Jesus is in your school every day. His great heart of infinite love is drawn out, not only for the best-behaved children, who have the most favorable surroundings, but for children who have, by inheritance, objectionable traits of character. There must not be any haphazard work in this matter, for even the work of educating the children in the day school requires very much of the grace of Christ and the subduing of self. Those who naturally are fretful, easily provoked, who have cherished the habit of criticism, of thinking evil, should find some other kind of work, which will not reproduce any of their unlovely traits of character in the children and youth, for they have cost too much. Heaven sees in the child the undeveloped man or woman, with capabilities and powers that, if correctly guided and with heavenly wisdom developed, will become the human agencies through whom the divine influence can cooperate to be laborers together with God. Sharp words and continual censure bewilder the child, but never reform him. Discipline, the standard. The Lord would have our primary schools, as well as those for older persons, of a character that angels of God can walk through the room and behold in the order and principles, the order and government of heaven. This is thought by many to be impossible, but everyone should begin with this, and should work most earnestly to preserve the Spirit of Christ in temper, in communications, in the instruction, the teachers placing themselves in the channel of light, where the Lord can use them as His agents to reflect His own likeness of character upon the students. They may know that as God-fearing instructors, they have helpers every hour to impress upon the children the valuable lessons given. It is the duty of principal and teachers to demand perfect order and perfect discipline. Those teachers who do not see the necessity of maintaining the rules that it is deemed essential to make have simply made a mistake in thinking that they are prepared to teach and in accepting the situation. No disorder should be allowed without decided rebuke and a command to cease. It would not be allowed even in the common schools. If the principal and teachers of the school have not authority and government sufficient to set things in order, someone should take the management who will require obedience. The duty of parents. Dislike and even contempt for regulations will often be manifested. Some will exercise all their ingenuity in evading penalties, while others will display a reckless indifference to the consequences of transgression. All this will call for more patience and greater exertion on the part of those who are entrusted with their education. If the parents would stand pledged to sustain the authority of the teacher, much insubordination, vice, and profligacy would be prevented. Parents should require their children to respect and obey rightful authority. Do not think it your duty to carry everything you see and hear to others. They will take it to their homes and comment upon it, and then pass the dish to someone else. Children that are educated to relate everything they see that takes place at the table and in the classes will forfeit the confidence of their teachers by communicating to others their parcel of nonsense. When parents realize their responsibilities, there will be far less left for teachers to do in the training of their children. In too many families today, there is too much self-indulgence and disobedience passed by without being corrected, or else there is manifested an overbearing, masterful spirit that creates the worst evils in the dispositions of the children. Parents correct them at times in such an inconsiderate way that their lives are made miserable, and they lose all respect for father, mother, brothers, and sisters. Little boys and girls need thorough discipline in study. June 6, 1899. Review and Herald and College Debt. Methods of Discipline. 1. Teach the children in simple language that they must be obedient to their parents and give their hearts to God. 2. If you can obtain the confidence of the youth, a troublesome pupil, and bind him to your heart through cords of sympathy and love, you may win a soul to Christ. The wayward, self-willed, independent boy may become transformed in character. Results of Christian schools. Our religious experience is of exactly the same quality as the food we give our minds. True Education, July 8, 1897. To make missionaries. God wants every child of tender age to be His child, to be adopted into His family. Young though they may be, the youth may be members of the household of faith and have the most precious experience. They may have hearts that are tender and ready to receive lasting impressions. Their hearts may be drawn out in confidence and love for Jesus, that they may live for the Savior. Christ will make them little missionaries. The whole current of their thoughts may be changed, so that sin will not appear a thing to be enjoyed, but to be hated and shunned. Children who are properly instructed will be witnesses for the truth. We may bring hundreds and thousands of children to Christ if we will work for them. Let all who read these words be melted and subdued. Let us, in our educational work, embrace far more of the children and youth than we have done, and there will be a whole army of missionaries raised up to work for God. In the last days, children's voices will be heard proclaiming the message. As Christ in the temple solved the mysteries which priests and rulers had not discerned, so in the closing work of this earth, children in their simplicity will speak words which will be an astonishment to men who now talk of higher education. Then let the church carry a burden for the lambs of the flock in its locality, and see how many can be educated and trained to do service for God. PC: Need of Church Schools. Our schools are to be educational schools to qualify youth to become missionaries both by precept and example. PC: To teachers. Children are to be trained to become missionaries, and but few understand distinctly what they must do to be saved. The Holy Spirit of God will impress the lessons upon the receptive minds of children, that they may grasp the ideas of Bible truths in their simplicity, and the Lord will give an experience to these children in missionary lines. He will suggest to them lines of thought which the teachers themselves do not have. The children who are properly instructed will be witnesses for the truth. The location of schools. Education in the cities. The youth educated in large cities are surrounded by influences similar to those that prevailed before the flood. The large cities are fast becoming hotbeds of iniquity. How many children there are in the crowded cities who have not even a spot of green grass to set their feet upon? If they could be educated in the country, amid the beauty, peace, and purity of nature, it would seem to them the spot nearest heaven. In the retired places, where we are farthest from the corrupting maxims, customs, and excitements of the world, and nearest to the heart of nature, Christ makes His presence real to us and speaks to our souls of His peace and love. Serious times are before us, and there is great need for the families to get out of the cities into the country. Let those who are suffering with poor health go out into country places. Years ago, I was shown what would be if our people in Battle Creek would arouse and go out of the city, extending the work now done in Battle Creek to other places. The experience of Lot in a city. The marriage of Lot and his choice of Sodom for a home were the first links in a chain of events fraught with evil to the world for many generations. We are told to remember Lot's wife. Cities and even country towns are becoming like Sodom and Gomorrah, and like the world in the days of Noah. The training of the youth in those days was after the same order as the children are being educated and trained in this age. Those who will take their families into the country, place them where they have fewer temptations. Fathers and mothers who possess a piece of land and a comfortable home are kings and queens. Locate your school in the country. Let the students be out in the most healthful location that can be secured, to do the very work that should have been done years ago. Then there would not be such great discouragements. Had this been done, you would have had some grumbling from students, and many objections would have been raised by parents. But this all-around education would prepare children and youth not only for practical work in various trades, but would fit them for the Lord's farm in the earth made new. If all in America had encouraged the work in agricultural lines that principals and teachers have discouraged, the schools would have had altogether a different showing. There is room within earth's vast boundaries for schools to be located where ground can be cleared, land cultivated, and where a proper education can be given. This work is essential for an all-round education, and one which is favorable to spiritual advancement. Nature's voice is the voice of Jesus Christ, teaching us innumerable lessons of perseverance. The mountains and the hills are changing, the earth is waxing old like a garment, but the blessing of God, which spreads a table for His people in the wilderness, will never cease. No pains should be spared to select places for our schools where the moral atmosphere will be as healthful as possible. For the influences that prevail will leave a deep impress on young and forming characters. For this reason, a retired locality is best. The great cities, the centers of business and learning, may seem to present some advantages, but these advantages are outweighed by other considerations. If people would encourage the church in which they are members to establish small, humble school buildings in which to do service for God, they would accommodate their own children within their borders. Teachers should be employed to educate the children of Sabbath keepers. This would close the door to a large number who are drifting into the Battle Creek, the very place of God has warned them not to go. School land is sacred to the institution. Students are not to regard the school land as a common thing, but are to look upon it as a lesson book which the Lord would have them study. These lessons will impart knowledge for the spiritual elevation of the soul. If you should settle this land near the school with private houses, and then be driven to select for cultivation other land at a distance from the school, it would be a great mistake, and one always to be regretted. All the land near the building is to be considered the school farm, where the youth can be instructed under well-qualified superintendents. The youth that shall attend our schools need all the land nearby. They are to plant it with ornamental trees and fruit trees, and to cultivate garden produce. The school farm is to be regarded as a lesson book in nature, from which teachers may draw their object lessons. Our students are to be taught that Christ, who created the world and all things therein, is the light and life of every living thing. The life of every child and youth who is willing to grasp the opportunities for receiving a proper education will be made thankful and happy while at school by the things which his eyes shall rest upon. This land, by the appointment of God, is for the benefit of the school. You have had evidences of the working of human nature and what it will reveal under temptation. The more families you settled around the school building, the more difficulties you found in the way of the teachers and students. The natural selfishness of the children of men is ready to spring into life if everything is not convenient for them. This land about the school is to be the school farm, and this farm is to occupy much more space than we have thought it would. Work in connection with study is to be given here, according to the counsels given. Then let everything not essential to the work of the schools be kept at a distance, and thus prevent any disturbance or annoyance through the proximity of families and buildings. Let the school stand alone. There must not be this one and that one claiming personal property near it. It would be better for private families, however devoted they may be in the service of the Lord, to be located at some distance from the school buildings. The school is the Lord's property, and the grounds about it are his farm, where the great sower can make his garden a lesson book. The results of the labor will be seen, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. The land will yield its treasures, bringing the joyousness of an abundant harvest, and the produce gathered, through the blessing of the Lord, is to be used as nature's lesson book, from which spiritual lessons can be made plain and applied to the necessities of the soul. There needs to be patient, painstaking effort made for the uplifting of the surrounding communities and for their education in industrial and sanitary lines. The school and everything connected with it should be object lessons, teaching the ways to improve and appealing to the people for reform, so that taste, industry, and refinement may take the place of coarseness, uncleanness, disorder, ignorance, and sin. PC, the Avondale School Farm. Support of church schools. Building for the church school. There were workingmen before me, building humble houses of worship. Those newly come to the faith were helping with willing hands, and those who had means were assisting with their means. The very thing was being done that should have been done years ago. I viewed the work advancing. In the basement of the church, above ground, room was provided for a school where the children could be educated. Teachers were selected to go to this place. The numbers in the schools were not large, but it was a happy beginning. Duty of the wealthy. The wealthy man or woman converted to God will begin to comprehend what good may be done with entrusted capital. They will see that institutions are established for the education of the youth, and that they are sustained by gifts and offerings. They will know that many youth must be trained for the missionary field, and the wealthy will become agents in the hands of God to set in operation the instrumentalities whereby men and women may become enlightened. In America, you can build 3 schoolhouses cheaper than we can build one in this country, Australia. It is a grievous offense to God that there has been such great neglect to make provision for the improvement of children and youth when Providence has so abundantly supplied us with facilities with which to work. All should help. In localities where believers are few, let 2 or 3 churches unite in erecting humble church school buildings. Let all share the expense. It is high time for Sabbath keepers to separate their children from worldly associations and place them under the very best teachers, who will make the Bible the foundation of all study. If there are some who cannot give personal effort in missionary work, let them live economically and give of their earnings. They can help pay the expenses of students who are fitting for missionary work. The churches should feel it a privilege to defray their poor students' expenses. Donations should be made. If there are those who should have the benefit of the school, but who cannot pay full price for their tuition, let the churches in our conferences show their liberality by helping them. This is an important subject and calls not for a narrow calculation, but for a thorough investigation. Debts must not be allowed to accumulate. We must have help with which to carry on our schools. It will be so much better to make donations now to lessen the principal, thus lessening the interest to be paid. Education of children comes before any other missionary enterprise. Let the church carry a burden for the lambs of the flock in its locality and see how many can be educated and trained to do service for God. Shall members of the church give means to advance the cause of Christ among others and then let their own children carry on the work and service of Satan? What the Lord Jesus expects in all believers is something besides being occupied and active. This activity should be trained in Christ's lines. God requires wholeness of service. The church is asleep and does not realize the magnitude of this matter of educating the children and youth. The church should take in the situation and by their influence and means seek to bring about the much desired end. Let a fund be created by generous contributions for the establishment of schools for the advancement of educational work. Special efforts for the youth. Ministers should form an acquaintance with the youth in their congregations. Why should not this labor for the youth in our borders be regarded as the highest kind of missionary work? It will require the most delicate tact, the most thoughtful consideration, the most earnest prayer, that heavenly wisdom may be imparted. The youth are the objects of Satan's special attacks, but kindness, courtesy, that tender sympathy that flows from a heart filled with love to Jesus, will give you access to them. When the youth give their hearts to God, your care for them should not cease. Lay some spiritual responsibility upon them. Make them feel that they are expected to do something. The Lord chooses them because they are strong. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. John 21, verse 15. Ministers should feed the lambs. The work that lies next to our church members is to become interested in our youth, for they need kindness, patience, tenderness, line upon line, precept upon precept. Oh, where are the fathers and mothers in Israel? We ought to have a large number of them who would be stewards of the grace of Christ, who would feel not merely a casual interest, but a special interest in the young. We ought to have those whose hearts are touched by the pitiable situation in which our youth are placed, who realize that Satan is working by every conceivable device to draw them into his net. God requires that the church rouse from its lethargy and see what is the manner of service demanded of them at this time of peril. The lambs of the flock must be fed. The eyes of our brethren and sisters should be anointed with heavenly eye salve. We must be aroused to see what needs to be done in Christ's spiritual vineyard and go to work. The Lord of heaven is looking on to see who is doing the work he would have done for the youth and the children. There is hope if we now work. Though we have come short of doing what we might have done for our youth and children in the past, let us now repent and redeem the time. The Lord says, If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword.